From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo urged ministries to accelerate budget realization. The United Kingdom supports Indonesia's Forest Law Enforcement Governance and Trade FLEGT Action Plan through Multi-Stakeholders Forestry Program MFP. Singapore tourism sector drastically declined to 30% caused by the novel coronavirus. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged ministries and institutions to accelerate budget realization to be able to move the economic sectors amidst the threat of external economic uncertainty due to the coronavirus outbreak. The president said at a plenary cabinet meeting at Bogor Palace, West Java, on Tuesday, that spending the existing budgets in every ministry as early as possible will be a motor over the dimming of a global economy that is not friendly because the coronavirus attack. President Jokowi issued a deadline that before the end of February 2020, all ministries and agencies should accelerate their disbursement of the budget. The president also hopes that the village funds can be immediately realized. As a result, the villages get a lever of purchasing power and their consumption will not be disrupted. In early 2020, the surge of global economic uncertainty increased after the coronavirus outbreak that had claimed the lives of more than 1,013 individuals as of Tuesday. The Indonesian government hopes that the Indonesian economy will not be interrupted by the transmission of a potential slowdown in the Chinese economy. The Multi-Stakeholder Forestry Program, MFP, has been supporting Indonesia since 2000 to strengthen forest governance in handling illegal logging and improve livelihoods for forest-dependent people. This program is funded by the British Department for International Development, DFID. At a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, Program Director of MFP, Tom Gagg, said that the UK supports the Agreement of Forest Law Enforcement Governance and Trade Action Plan with Indonesia since the country is one of the biggest trading partners for Indonesia's timber sector.
The UK and Indonesia signed an agreement that mirrors the same terms as the agreement between the EU and Indonesia, except that it's just between... This is just between the UK and Indonesia. So it's exactly the same agreement. And the reason we did this is because the UK has been very, very supportive of the FLEGT Action Plan, really supports the reforms that have happened in the Indonesian timber sector. And we want to stay part of this agreement and continue supporting it afterwards. So the UK is one of the strongest trading partners for Indonesia in the timber sector. And this agreement is showing that we're still committed despite our relationship with the EU changing.
Tom Gag, moreover, added that in 2016, Indonesia's timber legality assurance system, SVLK, became the first system in the world which is recognized to meet the high standards set by the European Union's timber regulations. This is a significant development in tackling deforestation globally. The system has collected information from nearly two decades of partnership between Indonesia and Britain to support forest governance reforms and deliver the Forest Law Enforcement Governance and Trade Action Plan. Singapore recorded the growth of tourist arrivals and expenditure for more consecutive years from 2016 to 2019. The number of tourist arrivals last year was 3.3% higher than the previous year. Tourist spending also grew 0.5% to be more than $27 billion. However, Chief Executive of the Singapore Tourism Board, Kate Tan, said on Thursday that the outbreak of new coronavirus could stop this growing condition. Kate Tan also said Singapore tourism sector might go down 25 to 30% this year. According to him, the longer the travel ban is applied, the decline will certainly greater.
Singapore recorded the growth of tourist arrivals and expenditure for four consecutive years from 2016 to 2019. The number of tourist arrivals last year was 3.3% higher than the previous year. Tourist spending also grew 0.5% to be more than $27 billion. However, Chief Executive of the Singapore Tourism Board, Keith Tan, said on Tuesday that the outbreak of new coronavirus could stop these growing conditions. Keith Tan also said Singapore tourism sector might go down 25 to 30% this year. According to him, the longer the travel ban is applied, the decline will certainly greater.
We are seeing now a loss of 18 to 20,000 visitors per day, and about a good chunk of that will be Chinese visitors. So the longer the situation persists, the longer the travel restrictions are in place, then naturally the fall will be greater. There'll be an element of confidence building. There'll be an element of encouraging Singaporeans to come out to enjoy. There'll be an element of reaching out to all our key international partners to amplify our marketing efforts.
Chinese tourists make up the largest part from the number of tourist arrivals in Singapore, reaches around 20%. Therefore, the Singapore government hopes the coronavirus outbreak in China will immediately stop and not be a heavy blow to the Singapore tourism sector in particular and the world in general. Meanwhile, hotel industry is currently implementing low season prices while preparing a number of recovery efforts.
Chinese tourists make up the largest part from the number of tourist arrivals in Singapore, reaches around 20%. Therefore, the Singapore government hopes the coronavirus outbreak in China will immediately stop and not be a heavy blow to the Singapore tourism sector in particular and the world in general. Meanwhile, hotel industry is currently implementing low season prices while preparing a number of recovery efforts. The Trump administration decided to roll out its Middle East peace plan after realizing that Israel has been trapped in a cycle of political uncertainty and that creating a stable government may not be possible despite holding three elections in a year. Former senior U.S. diplomat John Lehner, who worked on the peace plan, told Sputnik, Lerner dismissed assertions that U.S. President Donald Trump chose to unveil the peace plan just 5 weeks before the March 2 Israeli election in order to support Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Critics have claimed that Trump's announcement deflected public attention from Netanyahu's legal woes as the prime minister was facing corruption charges. The peace plan is based on a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The plan envisions Israel annexing almost a third of the occupied West Bank and the Jordan River Valley and having Jerusalem as its undivided capital. This news comes to you over the voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The U.S. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said that serious negotiations on nuclear arms reductions can start with Russia and China in the upcoming months. O'Brien also said on Thursday the U.S. withdrew from the ineffective INF Treaty, which combined with President's new investments in the Defense Department may bring Russia and even China to negotiating table for serious discussions on nuclear arms reduction in the coming months. O'Brien further said he is hopeful that If the U.S. and Russia move forward with some arms control negotiations, there will be pressure on the Chinese to join in those efforts. Russian President Vladimir Putin's public statements committing to arms control talks in a positive sign, O'Brien said, adding that U.S. President Donald Trump is also committed. Moreover, O'Brien said he expects the administration to meet with Russian diplomats to begin laying the groundwork for negotiations soon. None of the Indonesians in mainland China have been diagnosed with the coronavirus, even as the death toll on Tuesday reached 1,015 in China, the Indonesian embassy in Beijing has confirmed. Indonesian Ambassador Jauhari Orat Bangun said in a statement in Jakarta on Thursday, the number of Indonesians in mainland China has reached 1,890 people and all are confirmed to be in good health. The embassy has intensified communication with the Indonesians living in the country. The Indonesian embassy has also continued to monitor the condition of the three Indonesians who could not be airlifted along with 238 of their countrymen after they failed the health screening conducted by the authority in China. According to the ambassador, all staffers of the Indonesian embassy in Beijing are in good health. Bandung City has chosen as a pilot project for the Global City of the Future program by the British government through the British Embassy. The collaboration was to improve the mass transportation system to reduce the issue of congestion in the city of Bandung. The British ambassador to Indonesia, Owen Jenkins, said, "The problem of mass transportation does not only belong to Bandung City, but it can be experienced by any city in the world." He said he was happy to be able to participate in solving the problems with the Bandung city government. Owen Jenkins said he was proud to share his experience and knowledge about transportation in the UK with the Bandung city government at the beginning of the formation of public transportation in Indonesia. The Global City of the Future program is focused on integrating mass transportation systems in Bandung, since mass transportation is a clear solution of traffic congestion, which is a major problem in the city. Well, listener, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on Philippines out of military agreement with United States. Philippine relations with the United States are entering a new phase. Indonesia's neighboring country has terminated its membership of the Visiting Forces Agreement, VFA, which is a military cooperation between the two countries. Duterte's decision that the Philippines left the VFA had been conveyed to the United States government. Philippine Foreign Minister Teodoro Loxin has confirmed that it has been conveyed and received by the deputy head of the diplomatic mission at the U.S. Embassy in Manila. The reason for termination of Manila from VFA membership is because Washington refused a visa for Ronald de la Rosa, who is a political ally of Duterte. The VFA Military Cooperation Agreement was in effect starting 1998. Through this collective agreement, the Philippines has received thousands of U.S. military forces in the country for military training and humanitarian operations. Therefore, the United States responded quite cautiously to President Duterte's steps. As quoted by the Associated Press news agency, the United States Embassy in Manila stated the need to consider this issue very carefully. According to the United States, Duterte's decision could have significant implications in relations between the two countries, which has been going well so far. On the other hand, Washington also has not explained what is the reason for refusing the visa application of a person close to President Duterte. Ronald de la Rosa is a former national police chief who is now a senator. During his time as chief of police, the Philippines fought a war with drug dealers. Because of this, a number of Philippine officials suspected that his visa rejection was related to the drug war that had been criticized by the United States. Washington itself, until the termination of membership from a VFA military cooperation by Duterte, still has not explained the reason. However, Washington certainly is seriously considering terminating military cooperation by President Duterte, because The United States views its military presence in the Philippines as a counterweight to China's military strength in the South China Sea region. The U.S. still has 180 days before answering President Duterte's decision. Interestingly, the Philippine president has shown who he is against the United States, which is actually a superpower. The Philippines and America are even known to have a history of close relations so far. However, if deemed necessary, it seems the Philippines did not hesitate to show its firm attitude to the United States. Well, that was commentary today on Philippines out of military agreement with the United States. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Hello, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I will begin with February the 12th, the commemoration of the Red Hands Day. Red Hands Day is commemorated to draw world attention to the fate of child soldiers, namely children forced to become soldiers in war and armed conflict. This commemoration is held on February 12th each year. In the armed conflicts of the past few decades, which occurred in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Uganda, Sudan, Ivory Coast, Myanmar, the Philippines, Colombia, and Palestine, many children were involved as soldiers. Estimates of the number of children involved in armed conflicts throughout the world have not changed in 2006 and 2009. Rehabilitation for returning child soldiers to their places of origin is not available. Red Hands Day was initiated in 2002 when the optional protocol on the involvement of children in armed conflict began to be pushed on February 12, 2002. This protocol was adopted by the General Assembly in May 2001 and has now been signed by 100 member countries. Turning to February 12, 1961, Venera 1 is launched. Venera 1 is also known as Sputnik the 8th, was the first spacecraft to fly past Venus. Venera 1 is part of the Soviet Union's Venera program, launched on February 12, 1961. This aircraft flew past Venus on May 19, but radio contact was lost before it flew, so there was no data on when Venera 1 returned to Earth. I'll conclude with February 12, 2009, the 3407 Colgan Air crash. Colgan Air Flight 3447 is commercial aircraft serving the Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey with Buffalo Niagara International Airport in New York. After the last communication at 10:11 p.m., the plane crashed on a house in the residential area of Clarence Center in Buffalo, killing all passengers. 50 people were killed, including 2 pilots, 2 flight attendants, 45 passengers, and 1 person in the house. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Dirasain getaran itu perlahan hancurkan perasaan. sampaikan. Dari tatapanmu banyak yang bisa kau ceritakan. Kamu telah ku nanti dari lubuk hati. Aku takkan pergi sampai mati, tetap di sini.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled President Joko Widodo recommends four priority agendas of Indonesia-Australia partnership. In a state visit to Australia, Indonesian President Joko Widodo had conveyed a speech in front of Australian Parliament members in Canberra on Monday, February 10. In his speech, President Joko Widodo recommended four priority agendas ahead of one-century partnership between Indonesia and Australia to face various global challenges. The first agenda is fighting for democratic values, human rights, tolerance and diversity, then stopping intolerance, xenophobia, radicalism and terrorism. According to the president, as two democratic and diverse countries, Australia and Indonesia must join hands in fighting for democratic values, tolerance and diversity, as well as in preventing the world from clash of civilization. The second is strengthening principles of open, free and just economy amidst protectionism trend. President Joko Widodo believed open and just economic system will benefit all parties, so he welcomed the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership, IACEPA. Then the third agenda is Indonesia and Australia must be anchor of development in Pacific. As the archipelago countries, challenges faced by Indonesia and Pacific countries are not different. Indonesia and Australia then must be a true friend for the Pacific countries, collaborate as development partner, overcome climate change impacts, decrease poverty rate and social disparity, and create new economic growth centers in the Pacific. The fourth recommendation is cooperation in nature conservation and sustainable development, reforestation of forest and upstream river area, forest and land fire prevention, carbon emission reduction, as well as renewable energy and other green technologies development. Besides the four focuses, President Joko Widodo said the anchor of Indonesia and Australia partnership in 2050 is the young generation. President suggested the Ausindo Wave concept, an Indonesia-Australia closeness trend amongst the youth, increasing the love of Australian youth for Indonesia and the love of Indonesian youth for Australia.
According to President, investment in young generation will strengthen Indonesia and Australia partnership in the future. Both countries have the great capital. Currently, there are 160,000 Australian students learning Indonesian language and 21,000 Indonesian youth studying in Australia. President Joko Widodo is the 12th head of state to speak in front of the parliament in Australia's history and was the first to speak in 2020. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Stop bicara cinta jika hanya garitkan luka. Stop bicara rindu jika hadirmu tak terasa. Perlukah ku menjauh, biarkan kau sendiri sampai kau cari aku. Aku baiknya semua kembali kita pikirkan. Lanjutkah, hentikah kita. Ku bertahan karena ku ingin bertahan. Masih tersisa untukmu, tapi tolonglah beri aku alasan yang tepat untuk tak meninggalkanmu. Aku letih berjuang sendiri. Stop. Janji aku bukan prioritasmu. Stop bicara tentang masa depan kita tak jelas. Perlukah ku menjauh, biarkan kau sendiri sampai kau cari aku. Aku baiknya semua kembali kita pikirkan. Lanjutkah, hentikah kita. Aku bertahan karena ku ingin bertahan. Ada cinta masih tersisa untukmu, tapi tolonglah beri aku alasan yang tepat untuk tak meninggalkanmu. Aku letih berjuang sendiri.
Stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop.
Karena ku ingin bertahan.
stop bicara cinta jika hanya garitkan luka.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder is about Megalithicum Village in Millennium. The Megalithic era is a period of civilization in world history. In the eastern part of Indonesia, there is a hamlet which still looks like its original image. It is called Bena Hamlet in East Nusa Tenggara. It still has a megalithic landscape and it is maintained well. The word of Bena comes from the first original tribe which lived in the region. But there are many stories on the origin of the ancient hamlet which is predicted to have existed since 1,200 years ago. It is located on the slope of Mount Ineri, as high as 2,245 meters above sea level, or precisely at Tiwu Nuwu village, Aimeri district in East Nusa Tenggara. The hamlet is longwise from north to south and known for its traditional house, Bena villagers and also their ancestors' traditions. The small hamlet which is occupied by the original tribe of the region was determined by a World Heritage Site by UNESCO. Terraced soil structures are also a beautiful part of the hamlet. At the end of the hamlet, there is a peak of the stair and there is also a gazebo which can be used for praying. The existence at the slope of the mountain is characteristic of old community of mountainous devotees as the god's place. According to residents of the hamlet, they believe in the existence of Peta, the god which lives in a mountain and protects their hamlet. Bena hamlet consists of 40 houses which surround each other. The hamlet is longwise from the north to the south and the hamlet gateway is located at the north. While at the south, there is a peak and a steep cliff edge. Generally, the livelihood of the men is farming. In addition to producing corns, tubers and beans, they also plant coffee and candle nut on Mount Aimeri. Meanwhile, women work diligently by weaving, in which their products are sold to tourists or sent to Bajawa city. The distance of Bena hamlet is around 90 kilometers from Bajawa, which is the capital city of Manado. To get there, you can use land transportation. Even though the road is good, you must be a skillful driver since the road is curvy and hilly. Bena hamlet is the tourism destination of Ngada hamlet. In fact, the hamlet is often visited by foreign tourists from Germany and Italy. At the middle of the hamlet, there are some buildings which are called Baga and Ngadu by local people. The shape of Baga is similar with little huts without dwellers, while Ngadu is a building with one pole and foam fiber roof so that its shape is like a shelter. Ngadu's pole is usually made from special kind of hardwood because the pole also functions as animal sacrificial gallows when traditional parties are held. The hamlet is not touched yet by technology. Bena's building functions not only as residence but also having a deep meaning with local wisdom, and at present it's still relevant to be applied for the people in maintaining the environment. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Bena hamlet in East Nusa Tenggara province. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic.
datang menyapa dengan senyuman. Ku balas tersenyum tanpa
listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Keluhan di Hotel or Complaints for the Hotel.
listen to this conversation about keluhan di hotel, which means complaints for the hotel. Kevin asked the hotel room service officer about his complaints.
Coba masuk ke kamar mandi, Mas.
Baik, Pak. Permisi.
Lihat, saluran airnya mampet.
Oh, rusak ya? Saya panggil tukang leading sekarang.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kamar mandi. Kamar mandi, which means bathroom. Keran air, which means water tap. Rusak, which means broken. Permisi, which means excuse me. Tukang leading, which means plumber. Coba masuk ke kamar mandi, which means check the bathroom. Lihat, saluran airnya mampet, which means look, the drain is clogged. Saya panggil tukang leading sekarang, which means I call the plumber right now. When you are at a hotel, you might have some problems. The words which you may use when asking the complaint such as rusak or broken, tidak menyala or off, and belum dirapikan or not tidied up yet. For example, AC-nya tidak menyala, which means the air conditioner doesn't work. Remote televisinya rusak, which means the TV remote is broken. Kamar saya belum dirapikan, which means my room hasn't been made up yet. Saya tidak dapat menggunakan internet, which means I cannot use the internet. In the conversation, the hotel officer says that he will call tukang leading or the plumber in English. In this context, the plumber is a person who can repair water pipes. Besides, the word tukang is also used for someone who sells something such as tukang bakso or bakso seller and tukang nasi goreng or fried rice seller. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Masa di mana kita bersama, ku buka lembar demi lembar buku ingatan kita dulu. Ku berbisik dalam benak ini, dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu. Tak terasa tetesan air mata
dan surat ini ku berharap ku sentuh dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we are going to present you a song from Southeast Sulawesi titled Wulele Sanggula. The song Wulele Sanggula was composed by H.M. Sanip. The song is traditional song of Tolaki, the biggest ethnicity in Southeast Sulawesi that live in Kendari City and Kolaka Regency. The lyrics of Wulele Sanggula is written in Tolaki's traditional language. The lyrics tell a story of an angel who came down from heaven. The angel is described so beautifully and is always praised by the local people in the region. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Wulele Sanggula by Sarah and Nita. Enjoy the song.
Hey!
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.